What a blessing to be gathered in the house of the Lord. To get together to worship in the Spirit and in truth. Life or death? My thoughts went a long way thinking of life and then thinking of death and the difference there is in life and the difference there is in death. And then I had to think of the song we just sang, "Is It Well With My Soul?" Now, I believe we probably all help with that song. The question is it well with our soul? And if it's not well with our soul, we still have the opportunity today. As we heard, today is a day of salvation. And we have the opportunity to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent of our sins and to get right with God so everything is well with our soul. I'd like to start out with as maybe a confession. I remember times that I went to the local county jail, and I'd get back home and I'd be discouraged. And I was like, did it really make a difference going to the county jail? There a lot of the men we met there, they were in there for maybe a week or 2 weeks or 3 weeks or a month. And it seemed their whole goal was just to get out of jail. And I questioned myself, did it really make a difference? Go to prison, preach at prison, share with prisoners there, get home, and there'd be times I'd be discouraged. Did it really make a difference? Go preach on the street and witness on the street, get home, and there's times I'd be discouraged. Did it really make a difference? Is this really making a difference? And you know, I had to repent of them thoughts. Because I really don't know what happened after we left, or I left. So about 14 years ago, I think that was the last time, or the first time and the last time I was in Allen County. And I want to thank you brethren, because you probably don't know the difference you had made in my life when I left Allen County. I was converted, I was born again, but I was questioning, did I truly have the believer's baptism? I wasn't questioning, I knew I didn't have the baptism, but what am I going to do with this? And I was wrestling with that thing. And you probably don't know what a blessing you were to me, but I remember leaving Allen County 14 years ago and coming under strong conviction, I need the believer's baptism. But in the setting I was, it did not look possible. And I praise God, in that same setting 3 years ago, I was baptized. And I'm bringing this out, there's times when we may not know the blessing we are to each other. We can share. And so, for today, I had a couple messages on my mind, and a brother shared a little bit. I was talking to one of the brethren here, and he said he never heard my testimony. And I'm not going to share my whole testimony, but I'd like to bring out a few things. I think we all have a story. And I'd like to share a little bit of that story. And I titled the message for today, I titled it, Victory Over the Self-Centered Life. So before we get started, can we kneel? Whoever can kneel, let's kneel in prayer. Oh Lord, we come to you this morning. We want to thank you, Lord, for being King of Kings and Lord of Lords, for being the Almighty God, Lord, We thank you, Lord, that we can have that deliverance and we can be free and free indeed, Lord. And we want to thank you, Lord, that we can have that life. And as John 10:10 says, it says that we can have that life more abundant. So I pray, Lord, that we can have that life abundant here as we are here to get together today. And as we leave here today, Lord, I pray, Lord, that there's something stirring in our hearts, Lord, that will change us forever. And that we cannot leave this place and not have that abundant life or continue in that life, Lord. Because, Lord, we know you made it possible for us. It is not through our doings and the things we do. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us and be with us here today. We ask the presence of the Holy Spirit here that you would just minister to our heart. We know the word is powerful, as we heard yesterday at the wedding. That word is so powerful. It is the most powerful thing that we have here, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that word would penetrate into our heart today. I pray, Lord, that you be with us and bless us and guide us and direct us. And I pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. When I think of victory over self-centered life, and I guess part of my story is it was step by step. You know, there's times, and I believe there is something like overcoming and overcoming in a great way, but that is not my story. It was step by step. And the reason I chose, I preach this message different times, and the reason I choose to share a little bit of my story is there's times I preach messages. And after the messages, they come up to me and they say, "Brother Joe, you really don't understand. You really don't understand what I'm going through. And you really don't know how this is." And so that's kind of why I like to bring, I do understand. I went through trials, I went through struggles. And I had a lot of things to overcome. But I'd like to start out with this today. How many in here believe in the Word of God? We all believe in the Word of God. And I believe the Word of God is so powerful, it can change every soul. I would say, if God could change my heart and He can change my soul, and He can get me to think different, to act different, respond different, talk different, walk different, He can change anyone's heart. And I don't think there's anyone in here that is in any doubt that there's a force out there of darkness that is encircling the land of our people. There's this darkness, and it's just, and I think year after year in my mind, it seems just to get worse and worse. But before I get started here, I'd like to turn to, if you want to turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, I'd like to look at some very, very powerful scriptures. These scriptures mean a lot to me. The Word of God is powerful, as I said. Yesterday we were at a wedding, and that was the message, was the power of the Word and how powerful His Word is. And if we turn to Ephesians chapter 1, and we look at some of these verses here, starting in verse 2, it says, "Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." Now there is something I'd like for us to notice here. And I started, as I'm reading Scripture, as I'm studying the Word of God, as I'm having devotions, I like to take note of this. There's a little word in here. It's a three-letter word. I started to circle. And that is all. A-L-L. Here it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." And then it goes on and says, "According as He has chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." And it says, "and without blame before Him in love." That we, that's us, should be holy and without blame before Him in love. having predestinated us unto the adoption of his children by Jesus Christ himself, according to the good pleasures of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace. Therein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that powerful? Ephesians chapter, let's jump over to verse 15 and get and read to the end there. It says, Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Our heart needs to be flooded with that light. It says that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of the calling, and that the riches of the glory of the inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. It says far above all principalities. There's that word again, all. It says far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and has put all things under his feet, and have given him to the head over all the things in the church, which is in his whole, in his body, the fullness of them that filleth all in all. Chapter 3, verse 14, starting at verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in his inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints, that is the breadth, the depth, the length, and the height, and to know the love of the Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. There's that word all again, with all the fullness of God. That's where the victory comes in. That's where the overcoming power comes in. To be filled in all, and it says there, in all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Chapter 6, verse 10. These are verses that I didn't even know they were in the Word of God when I was ordained in 1999. In the old order setting, I had no clue this was in the Word of God. I didn't know what the Word of God said. I didn't know the difference between the Old and the New Testament. You asked me where Colossians or Corinthians, I wouldn't have known, is that in the Old or in the New Testament? So I was unconverted. I didn't know. I didn't have power. And these verses, they meant so much to me. And if I look at these verses here, see, these are scriptures we're very familiar with, but they're powerful scriptures. Here in verse 10 it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. It says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It says, the whole armor of the God. And it goes on and says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I remember this scripture when I would come across this scripture, and it just popped out to me. And it was like, wow, we wrestle not against the flesh and the blood, but against the principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, take upon you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil days, and having done all to stand. Stand before, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, put your and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, here it says above all, it says taking the shield of faith. Therewith you shall be able to quench. Does it say some of them? It says all the fiery darts of the wicked. It says all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying all with all prayer and supplication the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, but therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. We need to recognize that the Lord is almighty and is powerful. And He destroyed that works of darkness. He undone it. And the devil has no power. But it's our choice. All things are been put under Jesus' feet, and has been made head over all things. I think we probably all know that Christ is equipped and equips us. He equips us to fight this battle. We can live in victory. I praise God. We can live in victory. I don't know where to start. I don't want to make this a long story. As I said, I think we all have a story we could share. And I want to be careful what I share. There are things I can't go into a setting like this. But I like that the whole purpose of this here is to glorify God. And if there's anyone in here struggling to overcome, is it their thought life? Is it immoral? Is it depression, discouragement? Brothers and sisters, there's hope. There's hope. My life was step by step. It was step by step. Step by step. The right direction. My wife, she could come up here and share a testimony. When she was in the deep, dark depression, it looked so hopeless. But it was that step by step. The right direction. It was probably 2 years before she could even share her testimony. But praise God, she has victory. Praise God, I have victory. My testimony, it kind of exposes me. I was born and raised in Holmes County. Had a very good family, but they weren't spiritual. In fact, I didn't know what the definition of devotion was until I was asked to have devotions. We were in New York, Lindenville, New York, I believe it was. And they asked if I would have devotions at Sunday school, and I had to ask the definition of devotion. In fact, I think I asked afterward, I was kind of embarrassed at what does devotion mean? But I kind of just had an opening. Which is the same thing. But we didn't grow up, and I had a lot of struggles. And I'm sharing this, if there's anyone in here struggling, there is hope. There is hope in Christ Jesus. And there is, if we set one foot in front of the other foot and we're heading the right direction, that is what the Lord wants from us. And we need to repent of our sins. But this here, I'm going to start as a young man. I was very discouraged. I went to school and I was, and there's some name for it I believe now, but I couldn't learn. I couldn't hardly read. I had problems with my eyes. I still have problems with my eyes. And when I read, I want to see things backwards. I don't read things backwards. And so I really struggled in school. And so I just, I felt so rejected. I went to a public school, and so even playing sports, I wasn't good at playing sports, and so they set me back on the bench, and all the others would be playing ball, and I'd be sitting back there, and it all felt like rejection to me. And so it come to the point at second grade, where the teacher decided they need to keep me back. And so that was another rejection on that rejection. And that's how my life just seemed to continue as I went through life. And I'm not exactly sure, at the age of 10, my life went drastically the wrong way. I ended up with meeting this 20-some-year-old. And this is where I cannot go into, but this man ended up in prison for 15 years. And I must say, he messed up my life for the longest time. And I struggled, and I struggled, and I struggled. I come up to my youth years, I felt like I didn't fit in anywhere. I remember at the age of 16, my mom and dad expected I'd run around with the wild bunch, and that was kind of the thing to do. And yet there was this young youth girl that I was working at the same place, and she would talk life. She was trying to convince me that's not the route to go. So I decided, I'm going to try her route, and it didn't work very long for me. I decided that that's not the route I want to take, and it was the wrong decision to make. But I wanted to fit in with my friends, and I couldn't. I remember weekend after weekend laying on my bed just crying because I felt like a misfit. I felt like no one cared about me. I felt rejected. I felt so discouraged. There was just no purpose for life, it seemed. And that was a little bit of my youth years there. And so I believe it was in 1994, I didn't write the dates down here. I was married. We were married and we had two young children. And I become very, very sick. And I remember I was so sick. I remember Iva, my wife, she went to church with the children. And when I come home, I was so sick. I had a very high fever. I forget what we all tried to do, but I was very, very sick. And I'll never forget that day. I'll never forget that evening. That was the first time I ever come to realize that if I would die tonight, I'd be going straight to hell. There was no hope for me. But I remember I went kind of, my fever was so high, I was kind of delirious, and then I had these thoughts in my mind, I was going to swallow my tongue. And it just put me in a panic. And I remember Iva, my wife, called 911 and the squad come out. And when they got there, my fever had broken and I felt a lot better. I didn't want to go to the hospital. But I still had 106 fever, and so they told me I have to go to the hospital. And I went to the hospital. I was in there 2 days with double, or 4 days with double pneumonia. And that's kind of where my journey started. I remember when I was there and I thought I was going to die. I thought I was going to swallow my tongue, and that was the end of my life. I never in my life prayed before to God. I never called out to God. I didn't know what to do. And I just prayed to God. I says, God, just give me one more chance. Give me one more opportunity. I know if I die, I'll never see you in heaven. And I promised God, I told God, I says, if you give me one more opportunity, I will read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. And I will go, and there were things that had bothered me. I'd wronged some neighbors. And I told God, I says, if you would just give me another opportunity, I would go make things right with my neighbors. And I just pleaded with God. I just, please, God, you need to help me. And I believe God heard my prayers, but I wasn't born again. And that's where my struggles began. I knew something was wrong in my life. I started reading the Word of God. And I only had one purpose. I didn't stop to really meditate on what it was trying, what the Word of God was trying to teach me. And it didn't make a lot of sense, but I read. I read scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture. And it wasn't making a lot of sense, but I knew something was wrong in my life. And then I started getting these panic attacks. There was time where I would lay flat on the ground and I'd hyperventilate to the point it would just cramp me all together. And I was desperate. That was the same summer I was sick, and we were desperate. I remember time after time. We'd get the children after dark. I was afraid. I was afraid to be alone. I wanted to be with people. Because what if I die? What's going to happen? I needed people. I didn't like small rooms, and I was just panicking. And we'd get the children up in the middle of the night, and we'd pack them up, and we'd take them up the road. And we'd go to my father-in-law's and we'd sleep there for the night. But we had to get up early in the morning and take them back home again because I didn't want the neighbors to see what we're doing. I didn't want the neighbors to see that I'm panicking and the condition I was in. And that kept going for a long time. And in the midst of all that, I got ordained. And that was in 1999. And to me, that was the worst thing that could have ever happened to me. I called my dad and I said, this is impossible. I cannot preach the Word of God. I don't know the Word of God. I don't know my Bible. And he says, you know, Joe, he says, if the Lord can make a donkey speak, he can make you talk. And so, you know, there is some truth to that. You can preach and you don't have to be born again. Anyone can take the Bible and they can study or they can share stories. But there's no power. There's no power. And I started searching, and the big blessing was we had to preach in High German. I couldn't read High German, and so I had to study in English. And it was a year later. One Friday night, I got converted. It was like scales falling off my eyes. It was like Paul there. The scales fell off my eyes. And I become saved that Friday night, and I can't even tell you the day. I know it was a Friday night. It wasn't important to me. I didn't know you should remember the date. I just know I was right with the Lord for the first time, and that's where my journey began. And what a blessing! It was trial upon trial, and so there's a lot of things that had happened there. But see, even after I was converted, I wasn't living in total victory. There were things I knew when I got married. There were things I was involved in that was off limits. There were things I couldn't be involved in, so I knew I had to overcome that. But after I was converted, I still had things in my life I knew I had to repent of. But I just couldn't be overcomer. And I plead to God, and finally I've come to the point. And brothers and sisters, I've seen so many young men into this. They finally just give up. They get so discouraged and they give up. And brothers and sisters, we cannot give up. We cannot give up. There is victory. I remember coming across these scriptures in Ephesians chapter 6. For we wrestle not, it says, against the flesh and blood, but against the principality, against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And I remember reading on before, and it tells us what we have to do, but I still didn't have power. I wasn't going to get into all this. I was going to keep it real short. But until we recognize it is sin, until we recognize what sin is and that it is sin, we will not be overcomers. But I should step back. Maybe I forgot to mention something. I look back and I just marvel where the Lord has brought us. After I got converted, I wanted to leave everything. I wanted no part with Anabaptists. from all the things that had happened. And I praise God that my wife and I's relationship was good. And she was cautious. But what I wanted to step back was, I remember that I wanted to bring out, there is power in God. You know, there's times where we want to trust in the doctors. We want to trust in medication and all them things. And I'm not saying there's not a time for that. Maybe for a short period of time. But I remember we were so desperate. I was having all those panic attacks, and I was struggling, and I was hyperventilating, and I was so discouraged. And so Iva called Dr. Lehman. He was our doctor there in Mount Eaton. And she called Dr. Lehman. He was an old doctor. And she says, she described what I'm going through, and Dr. Lehman says, Joe just needs to learn how to overcome. I remember I ever going to her doctor in her deep depression, and she shared with her doctor. She says, "I need medication. I can't keep going like this. It's so depressing. It's so discouraging." She couldn't eat. She couldn't sleep, and it was just a downward spiral. And then she asked Iva. She says, "So how are you coping with the way you are?" And she shared her heart to the doctor, and the doctor told her. She says, "Who told you that?" And she says, "Well, she's not sure." The doctor says, "I think it's the Lord telling you that." And she says, "I'm not giving you medication." And we praise God for that. And we want to thank the Lord for that. But what I want to bring out is there is overpower. There is power there to overcome. And there is power, there is strength there. But see, I'm not getting into my message the way I want it to here, but see, there's these things in our life that we need to recognize and acknowledge that we can have victory. And there is victory there for us. If we truly want victory, we can walk in victory. But for me and for Iva, it was step by step. We had to walk through this step by step. We had to overcome step by step. But there is definitely is hope there. And I'd like to leave you with hope here before I'm finished. But see, there's dead ends. There's routine. We get into these dead ends. I remember these dead ends. I remember the routines I was in. There's ruts. There's mindsets. There's habits. There's conflict. There's torments. There's all these things that we put ourselves in. There's these prisons of self-life, which we as men or we as people put ourselves into these dead ends and these ruts and these habits. And you see these ruts. I was in this rut. I had these mindsets and I was in this rut and I was in this habit. And I remember back to when I was just a little, I was going to school and my dad got me a job on a farm. And I remember way back when I went out back to get the cows, there was these paths where the cows always walked. And there was, I would call them, there were deep ruts. So they walked back into the field where they were eating. Or these ruts went over to the water trough. Or these ruts went to the barn. And that's what we do. That's what we can do. We can get ourselves into these ruts. We want to think the same way. We're in this habit. We're in this pattern. And we walk the same path. We just keep walking the path and we form these ruts. We form these habits. And it's a downward spiral. It'll take us the wrong direction. It's a direction we don't want to go. And so the message today is to gain the hearts here today. So we can, today that we can have the mind and the heart be set free of all these conflicts, all these dead ends, all these routines, these ruts, these mindsets, these habits, and all this stuff, that we can have a heart and a mind that is free of all this. And praise the Lord, we can have that freedom, brothers and sisters, whatever we're struggling with. And if we're not finding that answer, we're robbed of that joy or peace. Christ is the truth, and He can set us free. Christ is the truth, and He can set us free. He has purchased us with a price, and we can have a life and a life more abundant. That's the Word of God. In fact, I'm going to turn to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, it says, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." That's why the thief cometh. But says, "I am come." This is Jesus' words. These are Jesus' own words. He says, "I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." So we can have that life. But we know since the beginning of Adam's race, man has dug himself into mental and emotional and spiritual pits without knowing how to free himself. That was me. I had no idea how to free myself. We have fenced ourselves into prison of self, life, routines, ruts, habits, mindsets, and all these things. And we don't know how to escape. You know, the greatest problem is close to home. That is our greatest problem, is close to home. It lies within ourself. That is where the problem is. It is within that we open or close the door either to God or Satan in this world. It lies within ourself here. The greatest problem lies within ourself, and it is our heart. It is our heart. And for this, I was going to turn to Mark 7 and Matthew, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to. But I believe we know the Word of God, and the heart is a struggle. And I like to talk a little bit about the heart and the mind today. But God has not left man without hope. He has not left us without hope. He has a purpose for every soul in here. It don't matter where you're going today. He has a purpose for every soul. There is hope for us. But we need to recognize where the problem is. He provides for us. And it comes a lot of times by step to continue to obey and to respond to God. Step by step, we need to continue to obey and respond to God. Proverbs 4:23, it says, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life." The heart, out of it is the issues of the life. Unredeemed, unsurrendered, unenlightened areas of self-life are the biggest obstacles men face. A pure heart is the key to keeping Satan out. Jesus said in John 14, verse 30, "For the prince of this world cometh and has nothing in me." Has nothing in me. As man, Jesus had no unsurrendered areas in his life that he allowed Satan to come in. And if we think of that, he had no unsurrendered areas in his life. And Jesus, as a man, every door was shut. Every crevice was sealed off. The mind, the senses, the meditation, the motives, the will, and the affections were all consecrated to God. All doors were shut. All crevices were sealed. And Satan was unable to get a foothold in the door. And if we think of habit, the power I wrote down, the power of habit is usually in the love of it. The power of habit is usually in the love of it. Until a man changes his desires, he will not gain the everlasting deliverance. I remember I was walking this Christian walk, and I was struggling with a sin issue in my life, and then I repent of it. And I walk in victory for a while, then back into it again. I repent of it, then I walk in victory for a while, then back into it again, on and on. And then I got this mindset that, you know what? God's going to forgive me every time. And one day it was so clear, you're playing with fire. And I had to repent of them sins. And praise God, there's victory. Praise God, there's victory. But it's that love of habit. And see, I've seen time over time after time after time that people, they walk into sin, but they want to give it some fancy name, or they don't want to acknowledge what they're really into. It's because of the love of sin, the love of their habit. Until we acknowledge sin is sin, until we acknowledge that is wrong, we're not going to be overcomers. There are so many people who long for deliverance from their bad habits. Yet there's another part of them that loves what they're doing. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. God, give God the permission to deal with your habits. We need to give the Lord permission to deal with our habits. Let God change our desires. We're going to fail and fail miserably. Proverbs 23:26, my son, give thine heart. It says, give thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's what the Lord wants. We need a new heart. We need a new heart and a new spirit. God will give us a new heart to anyone that is willing to have the operation performed in his life. Are we willing to have that operation? To have that new heart. I guess I could ask the question, what is the heart? When we talk about heart, what is the heart? I believe the scripture is referring to the very center of our being. The very center of our being. It is the very core of us. It is where the deepest motions lie. It is also the central focus of our real problems. The heart is actually much deeper than the mind, although we can have problems with our mind. Mind is an instrument of analyzing and logic, but the heart indicates to our mind what to muse upon. It is a heart. It's the seat of our affections, our emotions, our worship. The mind is stimulated by the heart. The heart is where all the real problems are. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to keep the heart with all diligence, for out of it is the issues of life. All of life's actions, choices, and decisions spring from the deepest, deep within our heart. You know, God allows situations and people to come into our life in order to show us what is in our heart. And I believe that is what, as I meditate back, I think there are so many people that come into my life and they were just nudging me a little bit here and nudging me here, a little bit here and a little bit there. And they were directing me, giving me direction. I had no idea what the Word of God was, what the Word of God said. I didn't read the Word of God. I didn't know what the Word of God said. But little by little, by teaching and listening to godly tapes and the charity movement, the Danny Caniston and some of them tapes, they were such a blessing to me. And it was a nudging. It was a giving direction, step by step. Praise God. I'd like to turn a few scriptures here. In 1 Chronicles 28:9, it says, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart, and with a willing heart. With a willing mind, for the Lord searches all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. Psalms 19, verse 12. Who can understand this error? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Psalms 139. Verses 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. I believe this is a scripture we probably all know. Search my heart. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked ways in me, and lead me into in the way of everlasting. Proverbs 21. The king's, verse 1 and 2, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. As a river of water, he turneth it wheresoever he will. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord pondereth the hearts. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searches the heart. I try the reins even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. We have two natures. In First John chapter 1, in verse 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. It clearly states here that we have a sinful nature. But in 1 John 3, verse 9, it says, whosoever is born of God does not, what? Commit sin. Do we believe the Word of God? Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. That seed is in us. If we're born of God. And we cannot sin if we're born of God. But we know that we have that old Adam nature in us that we're born with. And there's times that we fail and we simply need to repent. Repent. What is the remedy for that old nature? I'd like to turn to one more scripture. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 6. I like these scriptures here. This is another powerful scripture here. It says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? That's the question. It says, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into His death? Therefore we, it's talking about us, therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up before the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in the newness of life. Or can we put that word we in? Is that us? Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death. If someone is dead, if someone dies and they're dead, and we go poke them and we take a pin or we push them, well, how will they respond? How dead are we? For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin. Now we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death has no more dominion over Him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he lives unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourself to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal bodies, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield your members of instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. But it says, yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're under the law, but under grace? It says, God forbid. God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? It's saying here in the Word of God is teaching us. It says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? This servant you are to whom you obey, either of sin unto death. We heard of this death this morning, and we heard of this life. It says, whether of sin or unto death, or obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. And I hope we can eat, every person in this in here could really truly say that from their heart. But usually with a crowd this size, there's probably someone in here who really truly can't say this. But God be thanked that we were the servants of sin, and ye have obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine which delivers you. Being made then made free from sin, you become the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of man because of the infirmities of your flesh. For as you have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servant to righteousness unto holiness. For yet when you were servants of sin, you were free from righteousness. What fruit had ye then in these things? Thereof you are now ashamed, for the end of these things is death. But now, being made free from sin, you become servants to God. You have your fruits unto holiness and the everlasting life. The everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. That is the wages. But it doesn't stop there, and praise the Lord. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Are we living in victory? Are we living above the snake line? If you get to a certain elevation in the mountains, you get to a certain elevation. And I don't know where that actually is, but above a certain elevation, there's no snakes. Are we living above the snake line? Are we living above the sin? Are we walking that victorious life? There's so many struggling people today. But there's hope. Step by step. There's brothers and sisters who are willing to listen to us. They're willing to help us. They're willing to give us direction. They're willing to give us guidance. They're willing to show us out of this horrible pit of discouragement, depression, thought life, immorality. There's a way out. There's victory. There's victory. Step by step. I believe every soul in here, God has a purpose for. And there is no soul in here that God wants for anyone to take the wrong steps, to follow that downward path that is death. And so the easiest thing, the best thing, it's not always the easiest thing, but the best thing is to acknowledge if we're struggling. It's okay. It's okay. But what are we doing with it? Are we willing to acknowledge if we're struggling? Is it our thought life? Are we discouraged? It's okay. But which direction are we going? Even up today, if I get sick, you probably won't see my wife in church. I don't get the panic attacks, but there's something that starts going around in my mind. I'm getting sick. It's not the fear of death, but I'm just comfortable having my wife at home. If I start running a fever and I get sick. And I think these struggles continue, but it's getting better. It's taking them right steps. My wife was, when she was in that deep, dark hole of discouragement, depression, we looked back. It was a growing in our marriage. It was a blessing in our marriage. And the Lord showed her the way, step by step, little by little. For today, she's living in victory. So you need to open your hearts. Be transparent. Be willing to talk about it. And let's acknowledge, if we're in sin, let's acknowledge sin. Let's not try to come up with some fancy word or try to justify us. But let's acknowledge it. And step by step, we can walk in victory, day by day. See, sometimes we want to look out, next week or next month or next year. But it depends where we're going. Some days it's just hour by hour. And we need a battle plan. We need to come up with a battle plan. I've seen so many discouraged people, and they just give up. They have no plan. They have no vision. That's just part of their life. But you need a plan. There's victory. And we need to be transparent. We need to be willing to open our hearts and share our hearts with the brothers or sisters. There is hope. God is good. I look at the path He took us. I just marvel. But through obedience. Through obedience. It wasn't easy. It had its trials. But I think I can honestly stand here and say I'd go through it again. That was a growing point in our life, through our struggles and our trials. At the time, we didn't see it. We didn't feel it. It looked hopeless. It was discouraging. But there's hope. There's hope. And praise God. May the Lord bless you. And thank you. I remember 14 years ago, you have no idea what it meant to me. And my desire is that you didn't lose that fire. I remember being out here with you brothers. I personally don't really remember you, but I know I was with some of you. And I was so blessed. But we need to maintain that spiritual fire. I want to encourage you. that fire burning. There's a better land. If you don't meet here or there, we'll meet in the air. Praise the Lord.